Good afternoon. This is Archdeacon Steve West, the parish priest of St. Barnabas Parish in the Anglican Church in the Diocese of Trinidad and Tobago. I welcome you to reflection on this 13th Sunday after Pentecost, proper 18, year C. Our readings for today, Jeremiah chapter 18, verses 1 to 11. Psalm 139, Paul's letter to Philemon, verses 1 to 21, and the Gospel of Luke, chapter 14, verses 25 to 33. Let us pray. The Lord is here, and we will praise him. The Lord is here, and we will worship him. The Lord is here, and we will trust him. The Lord is here, and we will honor him. The Lord is here, and he has called us to give him all the glory. Amen. Our loving Heavenly Father, we come because we must. We come because we ought to. We come because we need to. We come because we long to. We come because in you we have a joy and a gladness we have never known before. We come because you are the Lord. Amen. Lord, it is a joy to be in your presence. It is an awesome experience to know you as the living God. Though you hold all creation in your hands, you have promised to hold us in your love. Though you are great enough to inhabit eternity, you have promised to live in the hearts and lives of those who put their trust in you. Though you are worshipped by all the host of heaven, you have promised to receive the worship of broken, contrite hearts. We pray, make your presence known, and may your praises be empowered by the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our hymn from Songs of Fellowship, 1120, Will You Come and Follow Me? We pray the collect for proper 18, followed by our parish prayer. Let us pray. Grant us, O Lord, to trust in you with all our hearts. For, as you have always confounded the proud who confide in their own strength, so you never forsake those who make their boast of your mercy. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Gracious God, you sent your only Son, Jesus, to be for us an example of godly living. Empower us by your Holy Spirit to treasure your creation, that we may be his faithful disciples in our time and place, making disciples of all nations, sharing his words with all who need to hear them, and helping our brothers and sisters to experience life in all its fullness. All to your honor and glory, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. Our reflection today is entitled, The Potter and the Clay. The Potter and the Clay. Jeremiah, as a prophet to God's people, had the task to announce judgment or restoration to whatever nation he is sent. In today's reading from Jeremiah chapter 18, the prophet is given an insight into the effect on the people to the prophet's message. The prophet is sent to the house of the village potter. The word of the Lord came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, Arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause you to hear my words. Jeremiah chapter 18, verses 1 and 2. Jeremiah obeys, and there he gets an object lesson into God's relationship and God's response to God's people, as illustrated by the potter and the clay. The writer records, Then I went down to the potter's house, and there he was making something at the wheel, and the vessel that he made of clay was spoiled in the hand of the potter, and he reworked it into another vessel as it seemed good to him. Jeremiah chapter 18, verses 3 and 4. Jeremiah observes that the potter has complete control over the clay. It is the potter who decides what he will produce from the lump of clay. If the clay is not malleable or the right texture to form the vessel that the potter desires, the potter can decide to start again, making a vessel that he, the potter, wishes to make. With the cooperation of the clay, the potter can produce a chosen vessel. There must be cooperation between the potter, who uses his skills and expertise to produce a good outcome, and the clay must be without impurities and have the right texture to be molded by the potter. In an article, a gifted potter, Marjorie Bankson, explained the process. The potter places a mass of dry, brittle clay on the potter's wheel and turns the wheel on. The motion of the wheel and the water from a water hose softens the clay to the point where the potter can begin to mold it into the desired shape. The potter explained that if the right hand exerts more pressure on the clay than the left, the clay will rise and then collapse. However, if the left hand exerts more pressure on the clay than the right, the clay could be molded into any shape the potter desires. What is produced as a result of an encounter of clay with the potter is entirely in the hands of the potter. The potter prepares the clay, removing any impurities or anything that will hinder the smooth molding of the clay. And by varying the pressure and hand movements, the potter molds the clay into a chosen vessel. The potter and the clay become a metaphor for the way in which the Lord deals with Israel and any other nation. The Lord asks, "Can I not do with you, O house of Israel, just as the potter has done?" Just like the clay in the hands of the potter, so are you in my hands, O house of Israel. Jeremiah chapter 18, verse 6. The Lord has the right to do with Israel what seems good to God. God can make Israel into whatever God desires. However, God is gracious and forgiving. As a result, when God declares God's intention to destroy a nation, if the nation repents, the Lord will forgive that nation and not destroy it or punish it. The picture of the potter and the clay illustrates Israel's dependence on God. For whatever Israel, the people of God, will become. If we transfer the metaphor of the potter and the clay to our epistle, Paul's letter to Philemon, we can focus on the fact that the potter has the ability to transform the clay. Whatever clay is presented, Jesus, the potter, by the power of the Holy Spirit, can transform it. Paul is writing to Philemon, a wealthy member of the community of the body of Christ, who is also a slave owner. One of his slaves, Onesimus, who has run away under strange circumstances, finds himself in Rome. He is converted by Paul and builds an extremely valuable relationship with Paul, making his life in prison more comfortable. Paul is sending Onesimus back to Philemon, pointing out to him that Onesimus is no longer a slave, but his brother in Christ. Philemon must therefore allow the potter, the Holy Spirit, to change his heart and therefore his attitude and treatment of his brother in Christ, who was once his slave. The potter has to mold Philemon, the clay, into a vessel that will make Onesimus welcomed as a brother in Christ, having forgiven him and reconciled with him. Philemon must yield to the guidance of the Holy Spirit to do what is pleasing in God's sight and demonstrate that he understands what it means that in Christ there is no male or female, no slave or free. Christ the potter, through the Holy Spirit, has removed all those impurities from the clay and produced a chosen vessel, a thing of beauty. We can also apply the metaphor of the potter and the clay to our gospel today from Luke chapter 14, verses 25 to 33. Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem to fulfill his destiny, and large crowds are traveling with him. Jesus challenges them. He says, "Whoever comes to me and does not hate father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even life itself, cannot be my disciple." Jesus, the potter, is telling the clay that there must be a dramatic change in the priorities of their relationship if they desire to be his disciples. The relationship between Jesus, the master, and the disciple must be our number one relationship. All our relationships are special as they are, or as important as they are, must come after our relationship with Jesus the Christ. That requires a new way of thinking. That requires a transformation that can only be achieved at the hands of the potter. The Holy Spirit is able to transform us as the potter transforms the lump of clay into a chosen vessel. As the Holy Spirit transformed the persecutor of the church to an apostle to the Gentiles, a chosen vessel. Disciples of Christ must be malleable as the clay to enable the Holy Spirit to help us to order our priorities, to enable us to put our relationship with God in Christ first, above all other relationships. For a right relationship with Christ can influence for good all our other relationships. Our gospel ends with a challenge. Jesus says, "So therefore, none of you can become my disciple if you do not give up all your possessions." Luke chapter 14, verse 33. Jesus is demanding the first place in all our relationships and possessions. That will take some transformation on the part of the potter, the Holy Spirit. But the Spirit of power, love, and self-discipline is able to help us to order our priorities and recognize that our relationship with Christ is a long-term, lasting, beneficial relationship that will outlast and overvalue all our other possessions. The potter can help us, the clay, to be transformed, removing our possessions from top priority and putting our relationship with Christ as our number one priority. If we desire to be true disciples of Christ, we have to yield to the will of the potter, to enable the potter to make us vessels as seem not good to us, but to God, the potter, who knows what is best for us. The hymn writer Eddie Espinosa in 1982 invites us to subject ourselves to the master potter and change, and the change which we desire will take place. He writes, "Change my heart, O God, make it ever true. Change my heart, O God, may I be like you. You are the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me. This is what I pray." Amen. Let us pray. God of abiding mercy, we will rejoice in you. Lord Jesus, you gave everything of yourself for our sake, and yet our response can be so meager. Confront us with the challenge of your good news, that we may give freely of all that we have and all that we are in your service. Refresh our hearts in you and fit us for your kingdom. God of abiding mercy, we will rejoice in you. Lord Jesus, You break the false bonds we use to oppress and subjugate those who you make free. We pray for all who are set over others, managers and leaders. Teach us that authority brings responsibility and that all power is ultimately yours. God of abiding mercy, we will rejoice in you. Lord Jesus, we give thanks for friends who support and minister to us in our hour of need, for the service freely given and received. Give us thankful hearts for the love expressed. God of abiding mercy, we will rejoice in you. Lord Jesus, you told your disciples to take up their cross in order to follow you. Hear our prayer for all who find this hard to bear. Teach us to trust in your providential care. God of abiding mercy, we will rejoice in you. Lord Jesus, your love molds and shapes us for eternity with you. We hold before you all whose earthly travel is over. Bring us with them to delight in your nearer presence. God of abiding mercy, we will rejoice in you. As our Savior Christ had commanded and taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, now and forevermore. Amen. We have the hymn, Songs of Fellowship 261, I Want to Walk with Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Teach us, good Lord, to serve you as you deserve, to give and not to count the cost, to fight and not to heed the wounds, to toil and not to seek for rest, to labor and not to ask for any reward save that of knowing we do your will. And in that service, O God, we pray that you will continue to make us instruments of your peace. Where there is hatred, let us so love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. And where there is sadness, joy. O Divine Master, grant that we may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive, it is in pardoning that we are pardoned, and it is in dying that we are born to eternal life, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Go out into the world in peace. Be of good courage. Hold fast to that which is good. Never pay back wrong with wrong. Strengthen the faint-hearted. Support the weak. Help the afflicted. Love one another. Love and serve the Lord, rejoicing in the power of the Holy Spirit. And may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon you and give you his peace this day and always. Amen. Remember, COVID-19 is still among us, and so we remind you to continue to wash your hands with soap for at least 20 seconds. Wear your mask, especially in crowded areas, and keep your distance. Do have a spiritually rewarding week. And we end this evening by sharing with you the hymn that was the first place in the Jubilee Hymn Writing Competition. It's entitled Celebrating the Jubilee, and it was written by yours truly to the tune of All Creatures of Our God and King.